Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air. Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, hanging out with producer Stephanie.
How do?
And Hoss isn't here yet. He's running like 5 minutes late. And I have the patience of a chipmunk, so I just...
We're starting.
Yeah, I just texted him. I'm like, we're starting the show, and I won't talk about anything important without you, so... There you have it. Hoss will be flying in here any minute. If you've never hung out with us on the podcast before, thank you so much for joining us. We are a once-a-week podcast, soon to be going up to two, maybe three, maybe four, maybe five shows a week.
That's a lot.
Big things in the works. I just walked in the door from parent-teacher conferences.
No.
Which still does not feel like I am a grown-up enough to be doing that crap. Like, I try not to giggle like before I go in. Like, you know, I'm like, okay, act like a grown-up, act like a grown-up, act like a grown-up. And it was just for the girl. And so they're the easy ones.
Yeah, your kids are amazing. So I nothing to worry about at all.
My favorite thing was that both teachers that we went in for the girls, both of them said out loud, "I just love your kid," and I'm like, "Oh, that just makes me happier than anything." Because as a parent, you can tell when someone doesn't like your kid.
Yeah,
whether it's like a coach or a teacher, and you're not always going to get everybody who likes your kid, but sometimes personalities clash, and sure. It's a really long year.
Yes,
exactly. You know, and we've already done. Jimmy went and did Rocky's parent teacher conferences, and those went good. But Rocky is all about being like the class clown right now,
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's worse things that he could be getting in trouble for, but, you know, he's in middle school, so he's doing the middle school thing. Is October? I cannot believe it's October.
Right? I mean, it's really snuck up on us.
Is October crazy for everybody, it just me?
I don't know, dude, because I can't imagine anybody's life being crazy like ours is.
Right. I mean, like, as a photographer, you know, that's it, like, everybody wants pictures in October. But for me, that's also when soccer season starts for the kids. Yep. That's when hockey season starts for Rocky.
Yep.
It's also Rocky's birthday.
Oh, geez.
And then you've got Halloween thrown in there. And I feel like...
The weekends are shot.
Oh, my God. Completely shot, which I should have mentioned at the beginning of the show. We always usually do a show on Monday morning, but October is going to be so screwed up. Like, this show's not popping up till Wednesday morning, because if you look at my Sundays, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
I'm looking at your calendar right now.
Yeah,
I can barely read everything on
there. So on the 9th, I've got 4 family shoots. Rocky's got hockey practice, and both girls have a soccer game.
And I do.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8 things in one day. So it's physically impossible for me to.
Somewhere in there you will eat, and somewhere in there you might sleep.
Oh, the other day I hadn't eaten all day. It was like 6 o'clock. I was so hangry. Like when you get hungry and angry.
Angry about being hungry.
Yes. And Rocky's like,
story of my life.
Yeah. Rocky's like, or Jimmy was trying to talk to me about stuff. I'm like, I'm not discussing this until I eat. We will talk about this after I have food in my stomach.
It's really better for everybody. I get that way too. And Josh is, you know, the same way with me. And I'm like, I can't talk to you right now.
No.
I can't talk
right now. No. And then I just go eat a snack. I'm like, I don't want a snack. I want a whole damn pizza.
I want a meal.
Yes.
Difference.
Yes.
There is a difference.
Yeah. And so, yeah, people have to deal with me for that. But I didn't know if October is crazy. It seems like we wait so long for fall to get here. And then it's a big ass blur.
Yep.
You know, because we're going to blink and it's going to be Christmas and then daylight savings and ugh.
And I think that's part of it. I think people are ramping up for all that. It's like, you know, October hits and it's like, okay, well, now it's officially the start of the holiday frenzy, you know, starting with Halloween, because it's not just, you know, some bygone holidays. Like, there's prep involved for Halloween.
There is.
For all the fall stuff.
Did you get my invitation for our party?
I did.
Or you're not free?
I can't. Well, me and KP are shooting a wedding that night.
Aw, dang it.
I know. And I said, oh, well, maybe we can go after. She's like, we're not done till 10. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll probably be done by then. We're having our first, like, grown-up, not grown-up, but kids and friends.
I was really bummed, too, because she's like, did you get us, like, Halloween party? I'm there.
Yes.
And I was like, no.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we're known for having, like, big parties on the 4th of July.
I
and
know,
stuff like that.
And I was stoked to get an invite.
Right, but see, here's the thing. We have gigantic families, so it's impossible for us to have, like, a friend and a family party.
Yep.
So the Halloween party is going to be just our friends.
Oh, cool.
So it's, like, the first time, hopefully our family is not too offended, but like we physically cannot fit that many people in our house.
Yeah, I hear you.
And our family comes first for all the other holidays, but we really want to get to know some of the people out here in our new area. So we're keeping the Halloween party to just our friends.
Well, dang it.
And you can't come.
You can't come.
That's okay.
Son of a...
You'll know for next year. Yeah, I'm sure it is not going to be like a one... time thing.
Well, let me know early next year.
Well,
especially for October, man. Come on, you know how we do.
Yeah, it should always be the Saturday like around Halloween.
All right.
And Jimmy and I already have our costumes picked out.
Tell me.
I can't.
No,
it's a secret.
Can you tell me off air?
Nobody can see until the night of the party. I even thought about doing a grand entrance, but then I'm like, well, then we would have to hide while all of our guests arrive and Rocky's costume is going to be amazing too. So
I guess it depends on how much prep is involved. Because if you can do quick change, like, you know, greet all your guests, whatever, and then disappear for 10 minutes and then come back down, that might work.
But I will say that with Jimmy and I's costumes, there would be theme music associated with it. So it could be like an entrance with music. But
dang it. Are you going to Facebook Live this? Please tell me you're going
to Facebook Live it. Okay. I'm definitely going to Facebook Live it. And I need to find out if Haas is going to make it to the party or not, because that is also the same weekend as his 40th birthday.
Oh, snap.
And I am going to have a present for him. Yeah. And I'm trying to decide if it should be given to him here on the show or at the party.
Oh, decisions.
So I will talk to him whenever he gets here.
I can make a cake.
Yeah, you can. You're a good baker.
Thank you.
I pretty much suck at baking. I suck at all that stuff. We have so much to talk about. We are going to talk about the Kim Kardashian robbery that has been just like taking over the news lately. I'm also going to tell you about a crazy coach that I had to deal with at Lucy's soccer game over the weekend. And I think we're gonna get into politics a little bit because it's getting so close.
It is. It's right around the corner.
It is.
There's lots to talk about.
And then we're doing a whole segment later called "What's the Worst Job You've Ever Had?"
Can't wait.
And the comments on Facebook have already been hysterical. I don't know if anybody could top our guest the other week, Ben, who works in the sewer system and has poop sprayed on him.
Yep, he wins.
We really should have done that segment when he was here.
Well, you know,
My brain is doesn't work like
that's
that.
Okay.
That's what a smart person would have done.
Now we know.
So if you want to hear about some really hysterical jobs people have had, stay tuned. We will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show.
Kelly Mano Show.
Come on! Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to be a player. I don't want to be playing no more.
Come out and play out, just crush a lot.
Punisher, still got what you're looking for.
Don't want to be a player.
Nice of you to join us, Haas.
Thank you.
Were you in a drive-thru or were you stuck in traffic?
Both.
Both?
You ever have those days where like...
traffic in the drive-thru?
Yes.
Yes. And then, you know those days where no matter what lane you get in, it's the slow lane?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
every red light?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my life all the
and
time.
And Taco Bells are bad about having a curb on the right so you can't get out of their line.
Oh,
like,
no.
Sometimes I'll pull in and I'll be like, oh, my gosh, this line's too long. I need out of here. And you can't get out.
Yeah.
Except for you, like, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, you gotta check the four-wheel drive there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All I wanted was a Coke. That's all I wanted.
Look, I don't have four-wheel drive, but I'm just going to say that my Toyota Sienna minivan, it can go over some curbs.
It might make it.
Because I have had to come up with some really creative parking spots before. And we were just on Main Street St. Charles last week doing a shoot. And I didn't realize it was like prom and like some kind of German fest or something.
Oktoberfest.
Nowhere to park. But I'm like, if I jump this curb, I can park in this apartment parking because there was an arm. And I'm like, all right, come on, little minivan. over it we went.
Nice.
I'm like, if they have security of this, I'm going to be on the news. Like,
oh, for sure do.
If you know this minivan that jumped the curb.
Possibly named Mano.
Right, possibly. God, I got to get my name off my license plates.
Do. It doesn't help.
I cut somebody off in traffic the other day, and I'm like, damn it, I got to get my name off of this plate. Because then when you have your name on your license plate, you can't park bad, you can't flip people off, you can't, you know.
You can.
It's just they know exactly who you are.
Yes.
Which actually plays into our next segment, which is going to be talking about the Kim Kardashian robbery over the weekend. I mean, it was a full-fledged robbery. And when I woke up and I first saw...
You know what they didn't steal from her?
What?
Any discernible talent.
Well, she never had any to begin with. But when I first woke up and saw the story, I'm like, okay, this is fake. This is like an Onion story. This is not real. But apparently, you know, because TMZ is kind of your go-to for real information, they are very rarely wrong. And when they are wrong, they will come out and say that they were wrong. I've seen it many times.
Yep.
But they're saying this was not a sham. It was, you know, because she's a publicity whore. Right. And I don't even say
you can
that.
Take publicity off that sentence, too.
I don't even say that in a bad way. That's how she makes her living.
Yes.
Is by being in the media for, you know, for whatever. And so she was held up at gunpoint. Like, some men broke into her. I guess it was an apartment she was staying in.
I think she was renting. It was like
an apartment hotel. And, because even though it was an apartment, there was like a concierge and stuff like that.
Sure.
And just the timing of this to where they broke in like minutes after her bodyguard left with her sisters, Courtney and Kendall. You know, they got Kim home, put her to bed, and then the bodyguard went out with the rest of the crew.
Right.
What the people didn't know was that one of her friends stayed with her and was sleeping downstairs. She heard the whole thing. She heard the commotion. So she barricaded herself in the room and then called her bodyguard. And he got there like 2 minutes after they left. And can you imagine how bad that bodyguard feels?
Yeah.
Like, that's your one. Like, and it's not his fault. I'm sure she told him to go. But when that's your one job and you're not there when something really bad happens.
Right.
Sure.
That'll eat you away for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the first thing I said was that it was an inside job. Inside meaning by the hotel.
Right.
You know, if Kim Kardashian is coming to stay at your hotel for Fashion Week, it's probably planned weeks or months in advance. So whether it was a maintenance guy or a bellhop or somebody knew she was going to be in there, knew what room she was going to be in.
Yep.
And were able to go in and make the getaway quickly.
I'm so cynical.
Or they passed the information to somebody else that was doing it.
Well, yeah. My first thought when you hear about that it happened right after the guy left and then he showed up 2 minutes after they left was, this is all bullshit.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I thought too, but I mean, this would be a really, you're a really bad person to bullshit.
Think of the two
like
people that we're talking about.
Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
And Kanye.
Yes.
I mean, he's involved.
Nothing. They could pretend that their baby died. And it wouldn't surprise me that they did.
That they faked it.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the story said she was in the bath, like that they bound her by her hands and her legs and they threw her in the bathtub and duct taped her mouth and she begged for her life.
Are there rope marks on her?
I don't know. Nobody's seen her. I mean, she was seen being escorted back to New York and she hasn't left since. And the reports at TMZ is that she's completely hysterical, which if this really happened, then of course you were.
Well, yeah, of course.
The thing that made me weird was, did you see the video of Kanye finding out about it on stage?
No, I've read, but I have not seen
it. I haven't seen it.
So the thing that was fishy to me was that he's in the middle of a song and he doesn't even pause. I don't know how he got the information. Because he's like singing that Heartbreaker song. Okay, then maybe it was the in-ears. Because I couldn't figure out who told him. Because he just stopped and he goes, family emergency, I got to leave the show. And it wasn't like somebody came out and like pulled him aside.
Right. He's probably got in-ears in and it was probably relayed to him through the monitors.
Okay.
However, I would say that if I'm the tour manager or production manager, whoever has the mic that's speaking to his in-ears, I would probably wait till the end of a song.
I would too.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Because what
are those 2 minutes going to do?
Exactly.
It's not like your wife is in danger backstage.
Right.
She's not even in the building.
I would think you could communicate a lot more better and clearly in between songs than, you know, in the, like while you're trying to sing lyrics and somebody's talking in your ear.
Have you ever had in-ear monitors in?
Yes, and I hate them.
Yeah, I do too, but that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Like, it does a good job of filtering you out. And also, it also depends on how he has his mix made.
Yeah.
He could have it to where it's filtering his voice out, and he has whatever he needs or wants in his ear.
In his ear.
And it very well could be someone feeding him lyrics if he forgets his lyrics.
Right. Yeah. No. Good point. I didn't think about that. I know they use the IF. I mean, we always called them IFBs in TV. I don't know. I guess music calls them in-ears. But yeah, if you see an artist perform and you see them rip their those things out of their ears, that means they can't hear themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always feel bad for them when I see them do that.
Well, and the musician ones are even crazier than the ones you see on TV, because the ones for musicians double as earplugs.
Yeah.
So they're custom molded to your
their ears. Yep.
And they always come back, and you'll always see musicians will have these two strings coming down the back of their neck and disappearing down their shirt, and that's their monitors.
Yeah, I remember watching like Christina Aguilera do like the national anthem or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was at the Super Bowl, and watching her yank out her in-ears in the very first line,
first
and I'm like,
notes,
crap, like she can't hear herself. One other thing that people have been bringing up with the Kim Kardashian thing is she at fault at all, or does she take any fault for this? In the fact that, you know, she Instagrams and tweets where she's going to be at all hours of the day and night. And about a couple of hours before the robbery happened, she was on Instagram showing off this, multi-million dollar ring and this multi-million dollar grill in her mouth. And so, you know, the question is she to blame at all for telling people where she's going to be all the time and showing off her goods?
I mean, sure she is. That's something that is the downside of social media. You are in complete control of your own privacy.
But that doesn't mean that you're in control of crazy people.
No, but you cannot tell the crazy people where you are 24/7.
But, I guess if you're Kim Kardashian, you know that you have crazy people. But
yes.
What about, you know, there was that contestant from The Voice from like seasons ago, Christina Grimmie, that was like gunned down.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like a big household name that you would think would have stalkers.
But it goes with the territory, though. If you know that you're the type of person that's going to have people who are crazy, or even if you're not, like I do it all the time. I check in when I go places.
Now,
there's nothing to stop anyone from going, oh, Chris is at Buffalo Wild Wings. I want to go see Chris and go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, we do have some interesting radio listeners on this show.
Right.
that take a liking to you and,
sure.
and send us interesting emails.
But that's my point is like at blame might be a strong word, but did she contribute to it? Probably.
I guess that's a fair line to draw.
Yeah.
That she contributed to it, but not like I'm really careful about anything about I don't check in anywhere. Unless it's somewhere really big like Busch Stadium.
Right.
You know, or if I'm like at a concert.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I specifically don't check in anywhere. And I also specifically don't forecast what I'm going to be doing.
Like I never check in at my house. Never.
Yeah. Like I'll never say like, you know, Rocky has a hockey game at this time. You know, I'll send that message privately to family rather than put it on Facebook. Just because I don't want anybody to know where
it's,
I'm going to be.
It goes with social media. The larger you open that window to your world, the more you allow people to see.
Right.
And there's good in that, and there's bad in that.
Yeah, and, you know, I just took a women's self-defense class, you know, and one of the big things that they, you know, talked about was, you know, how you can look at the back of somebody's car and tell everything about them, from where their kids go to school to how many kids they have to what sports they play.
Yep, yep. Those little sticker families that you think are so cute.
Oh, yeah.
Let everybody know exactly who's in your family.
No, we do not have those. I've got to get the Mano off of our license plate because I got it right after we had Libby Lou. And I was like, oh, it's so cute. We're a family of five, you know. But that was, I mean.
Oh, that's what the five's for.
Yeah, well, duh. You didn't put that together?
I figured you just, over the course of time, had five different cars.
No.
Oh.
There's
and graduated
five
them up.
Manos.
Okay.
Jimmy, Kelly, Rocky, Lisa,
oh, yeah,
Libby, Lou.
I can add.
Yeah. You missed it. We were just talking about, I had to go to the kids' parent-teacher conferences tonight.
Oh, how
and,
was that?
Well, it was for Lucy and Libby Lou.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I mean, that was like a breeze. And, you know, it
Libby is very sweet. She seems to have some aggressive tendencies.
It's funny. She hides it at school. Her teachers think she's an angel. I'm like, okay, then don't YouTube her. you'll see a whole other side of her. But it's funny how like things change, but then they're always the same.
Right.
Because
so the ambassador is doing fine.
Oh, Lucy's doing fantastic. And he even said, he's like, well, we have reading groups and she's in the top reading group. And it just reminded me of like in grade school, like how we were put in reading groups.
Yeah.
And it was always like the bluebirds and the redbirds and the jaybirds.
Right.
And like the jaybirds were eating glue and licking the wall. And so you're like, like, even as like a third grader,
you knew
what group you were in. Yeah. And so whenever I came home and talked to Lucy, she's like, oh yeah, I'm in the top group.
Oh, it's very important to her. I forget what we were talking about the other day when I was over here, but she made a point to tell me that it is her mission to get into the gifted program.
Well, what's funny is gosh, this is a whole other conversation. So I didn't know that they did the gifted testing at school. I'm sure there was a flyer and I missed it. Because in her old school, there was a gifted program called Galactic. And her first year in school, they were like, we want to pull Lucy and test her for Galactic. And I wouldn't let them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure.
My mom did it to me. I tested for it. And for social reasons, she's like, nope, keep them in class.
I was very young in my class and I was very smart. And so what they did with me was they made this special class. It was called a 4-5 split and then a 5-6 split where I was a fourth grader and me and two other kids would spend all of our important classes with the fifth grade.
Okay.
And then in fifth grade, we went up a class with the sixth grade. And looking back, it was too much pressure.
Yeah.
And like the kids made fun of me because like, oh, you're so smart. You got to go, you know.
Kids are jerks.
Yeah. So
for sure they are.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, I think that there's a good reason to have gifted programs.
I think what you should do is just watch her and see if she's being challenged.
Right.
Because if it gets too easy, then you need to do something.
Right. I mean, because with Rocky in sports, when like Little League Baseball got too boring for him, we moved him up to select, you know? And so I think that there's a reason for that stuff, but a lot of the kids that I know in the gifted programs lack major social skills.
Yes.
Not all of them.
Not all, but a lot of them, yeah. Because they're so book smart and they're so scholastically smart.
Right.
And they dive full on into that.
And
they don't get... They're in that little room with other people like them.
Yes.
And they don't become fully well-rounded.
And Lucy has, like, glitter in her veins. I can't take her and, like, box her into that.
I think she would be fine.
She's like a chameleon. She would honestly be fine anywhere.
Right.
But yeah, it was a big fight when Jimmy found out that they wanted to put her in the Galactic, and I turned it down. He's like, what? I'm like, I turned it down 3 years ago.
when's Rocky's conference?
We already had his. It was Rocky's conference.
Okay.
Rocky's a forgetful boy.
Right. And he's that age.
He wants to be a class clown.
Yeah.
But all of his teachers love him. I've
got
three really good kids, so... we'll be back. We are going to talk a little bit about the worst job we've ever had and a couple other things. So
nice.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Kelly Mano Show.
Kelly and Haas are the Biggie Smalls and Little Kim of their time, except whiter.
And with very little street cred.
You're listening to the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Rachel Witt and the team at RE/MAX. You know, we spent all this year moving, you know, I was talking to Rachel the other day because we kept our friendship with her after we moved. Moving should be fun. I mean, yes, it's stressful, but it should be fun. And because whoever you pick to be your realtor, you are going to be spending a lot of time with that person. And if they have a crappy personality, you are not going to have a lot of fun. Besides having a great personality, Rachel is a veteran in the business. She's been doing this for over 14 years. And she's all about service. You know, she knew that we weren't just looking for a home. But for us, we were looking for a community. We were looking for somewhere to raise our babies for, you know, the next 40 or 50 years. And so she took all of that into account. She was so smart about the school districts and things like that. We could not have done it without her. If you are looking to buy or sell or even build a home, call the Rachel Witt team today at 636-720-3836. Or you can head over to her website. The MLS is updated daily. It is www.homesalesinstcharles.com. That is Rachel Witt at Home Sales in St. Charles. Hey, dirty. Look at that girl right there. Oh, she makes me.
I like the way you do that right there, right there. Switch your hips when you walk and let down your hair, down your hair. I like the way you do that right there, right there. Lick your lips when you're talking, that make me stir.
Are you like done traveling now?
I think until December, yeah.
Where do you have to go in December?
New York. For our end of year stuff for work.
Yeah, that's
fun. But I think
fun.
As far as like concerts and stuff, it's all local.
Yeah. What were you texting me that you were eating? It was something disgusting.
No, it wasn't. It was amazing.
It was a menu that serves kangaroos.
It was. We went
that's
to...
That's screwed up.
Oh, dude, it was great. I was in Louisville this past weekend for a festival, and we were actually in line at a barbecue place.
Yeah.
And on the menu was like their one vegetarian option was fried tofu. And one of our friends said to another one, you should get the fried tofu. And he's like, no way. I want to get meat on top of meat on top of meat.
Yeah.
And a guy in front of us recommended this restaurant called Game, ironically enough, because it's all wild game. And he goes, you know, you can get like kangaroo there. And I immediately was like, and ran to the car like, we're going.
Because you like to try stuff like that?
Well, when else in my life am I going to have the opportunity
That's
to say,
true.
I tried kangaroo?
Yeah,
I don't think I even want that badge. Like, I'm the girl that goes to O'Charley's like every time we have a chance and I order the same thing every time I go.
Yeah, I'm getting a little more adventurous in my old age.
I'm not adventurous. Stephanie, aren't you a vegetarian?
I was for a long time. I am not so much anymore, but
would
I try
you
mostly
eat
plant-based.
Kangaroo?
Yeah.
Just to say I tried it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Growing up, you know, my parents were very, you know, you don't have to like it, but you need to try it, you know? So I tried lots of things. I was eating squid when I was 6 years old.
Oh, nice.
You know, because my dad was like, just try it. And I liked it. So, I mean, it was one of those things where I will try anything.
Yeah.
Once.
You're eating squid at 6 years old.
That's awesome.
I made beef stroganoff for dinner, which is a really normal
nice.
Thing.
That sounds delicious.
And two of my three kids wouldn't eat it. So you know what they ate for dinner? Like butter, bread, and Cheez-Its. I'm like, you know
All
what?
All right, whatever.
Guess who doesn't give a shit?
Yeah.
This mom. Did you eat? Because I ain't cooking anything extra.
That's yeah, fine.
That's
but
fair.
Like, I make normal stuff and they won't eat it. I'm not even trying
that's
to
kids.
Make them eat broccoli.
Yeah,
I was the
though,
same way
yeah.
as a kid. I wouldn't eat eggs till I was like 22.
God, it, yeah. you know.
It was a texture thing for me.
I yeah. used to be like, okay, they used to have to take however many bites was how old they were. So if you were four, you had to take four bites.
Right.
And I did that for a long time and then I just stopped caring.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I really don't give a shit what you eat tonight.
Well, but I mean... Lots of kids are like that. I was like that to a point, too. But at the same time, like, that was the deal, though. You have to try it. I
yeah.
mean,
right.
it wasn't like you have to take so many bites. So, like, just try it. If you don't like it, fine. You never have to eat it ever again.
Oh, that's kind of what we did. Like,
so, but it made me more of an adventurous eater, is my point.
But so we rolled into this restaurant, and it's all the meat they have is ground. So it's like you can't go and get a steak or something like that.
A steak. Oh, well.
So you either get a burger or meatballs.
Huh.
And the meatballs are like a la carte, one meatball for whatever. So we all ordered, like, half a dozen meatballs and cut them up and tried the different animals they had. And then it came time to order what we wanted. And I looked at the waitress and I was like, can the chef make me a burger out of like a little bit of everything? And can we call it the Noah's Ark?
You are a killer. That's gross.
And she's like, that sounds amazing. Let me go ask. And they couldn't do one out of all of them because each burger was the equivalent of like three or four meatballs. But what she said is pick out what you want, like the four you want, and we'll make one. So I posted a picture of my burger to the page.
Yeah.
What you're looking at in that picture is a burger made out of duck, local goat, kangaroo, and what was my the fourth thing?
Boar.
And then I topped it with soft shell crab and goat cheese.
Oh my gosh.
And since it had something from each, I called it the land, sea, and air. Because I had something that flew.
That's clever.
How did you even walk out of the restaurant?
It wasn't that big. I will say it was probably the most gluttonous meal I've ever had just because of what it was.
Was it really fatty? Like really rich? And
it was very rich because of the cheese.
Okay.
Like it's one, and I had it on a pretzel bun. The burger itself, I was like, if I ate more than one of these every 3 months, my heart would just jump out of my chest and explode.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic.
It looked messy, but not.
And then
you know,
we got fries.
It looked pretty good.
And for an extra $2, they would fry your French fries in duck fat.
Duck fat.
Holy balls. Was that the greatest thing I've ever put
in
my
mouth?
That
is a thing.
Yeah, it's called pommes frites, I think is the actual name of it.
That's what they do in French.
And it is Amazing.
I would have not eaten. I mean, like, I literally would have not eaten. Like,
here's the thing, though. If I would have put it in front of you and not told you what it was.
You're lying. You sound like my mom.
You would have called it the greatest hamburger and fries you've ever had.
No, you'd be like, I put onions in it. You can't taste them. Then why are they in there?
No.
If you can't taste them, why'd you put the onions in there?
If I would have said, hey, try this hamburger and these fries, you would have thought they were the greatest thing in the world.
I don't know.
I will say this about kangaroo. I was really excited about kangaroo. It was probably my least favorite of the things I had.
Really?
It's a little grainy.
Grainy, yeah.
The duck, however.
I love duck.
Oh, boy.
I love duck anyway.
Listen, I think I'm going to get a pet duck, and you stay away from him.
I love Piggy Smalls.
And yeah,
he's my best friend. guess what, Piggy Smalls? I ate your uncle over the weekend.
Did you see the video I posted of Piggy when he was like 5 pounds?
Little tiny Piggy Smalls.
Gosh, so cute. He was so cute. Now he's so fat and crabby.
We also had an entire weekend of making Harambe jokes, which was great.
The gorilla? Why did you make Harambe jokes?
We asked the waitress, we're like, so how much do we have to spend to see the other menu? She's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you know. I know there's
Was the zoo in Louisville?
No, it was in Cincinnati. But
okay.
We were like, you know, there's a menu. I was like, what if we want to eat people? And she's like, what? And I was like, I know that there's a menu that you just don't share. I was like, come on, how much to see the other menu? And she's like, there's no other menu. And I'm like,
she probably thought you guys were deeply, deeply disturbed.
No, we had everyone laughing at us. She did say that like the week before they'd just taken antelope and alligator off the menu.
Oh, I've had alligator too.
I haven't had alligator.
When we went to Florida when I was a kid.
I've had rattlesnake.
Ew. Why would you eat a snake? That's not even meat.
No, it was.
There's a little bit on
it. Yeah, it was really good.
That's just disgusting. I can't even wrap my brain around putting something like that in my mouth.
Thanks, Dad.
Awful.
But kangaroo, it was kind of cool.
Stop talking about the damn kangaroo. Like, I feel bad for it already.
Don't.
Like, it
was already dead. I wasn't like I went out to the back of the restaurant and was like, That one.
Oh, it's hard
it
enough
bring it to me.
For me to eat animals, you know, especially if they have a face. But if they have a cute face, like a kangaroo, like I can't even watch the crawfish broils. Like when they dump them in hot water alive. Yeah, I do.
All right. Think about that when you go feed your pig tonight.
I just feel bad that I like bacon, but it's so damn good.
Oh, it's candy bar of meats.
Well, I spent my weekend on a soccer field because I coach Lucy's 9-year-old team. And this is the team that is known for bad luck. This is the team that had the gunfire on the field a couple of years ago. Then the next year, we had a medevac helicopter land in the middle of our practice with absolutely no warning.
Was somebody hurt or was the helicopter
there was
having problems?
There was a baby at a nearby ball field that had a problem, and that was the closest field they could land in.
Oh.
But from, I guess, that distance, he couldn't see that we were having a soccer practice on that field. Because it was literally like over the trees, and I had to grab all the girls and go running. And then,
holy crap!
Last year we had to stop a game because one of the people watching, one of our little girls, her uncle had a grand seizure on the side of the
field. Is this all North County?
Well, last year we play for Skysa now, so it's all been the same team. But so far this year, like, knock on wood, nothing has gone bad. But like literally, these little girls have been through everything. But Lucy had a game on Saturday. Have you seen her arm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
That was a great picture, by the way. She was so proud of that bruise.
Oh, God.
And I love that she's bruised and battered and still wearing fur.
Like leopard skin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she had a soccer game on Saturday. And I always tell my girls and their parents at the beginning of the year, I'm like, soccer is a contact sport.
Yep.
Your kid is going to get knocked down. If you don't want to see your kid get knocked down, go take flute lessons. You know, like if there's ever anything really bad, then, we'll address it. But this team we played on Saturday, number one, they didn't belong in the league. They were way too good. They were winning like 7-0 by halftime. And the girls on the other team were just throwing elbows. And there's a difference between girls like running with their elbows up
and throwing an elbow.
Right. Because I have girls that do that and they'll get a penalty. I'm like, keep your elbows down, Amber, but these girls were just so damn aggressive.
Were they getting penalized?
A little bit, but it was to the point where my other coach and I were having to holler out to the ref, and then I finally said something to the coach. I'm like, you've got to talk to your girls. And at one point, Lucy got tripped, and I think it was unintentional, but then she got stepped on with a cleat, and it was coming for her face, but she got her arm up, and she took a full cleat to the arm. But the crazy thing was that, I am a competitive person.
Yep.
But I can put my competitive brain aside and go, this is 9U rec soccer. the coach on the other team was winning 7-0, and he is still screaming at his girls so loud he's got veins popping out of his forehead.
Yeah.
Like if they made a mistake or if they, you know, he's like, you can't do that. You got to see that. You know, if I'm winning 7-0, I'm mixing up my whole field.
Is this still the first half?
It was the second half.
Yeah. See, I could see him saying, give me one good half.
Right.
And then at half, like, all right, no. This game's not in doubt. But yeah. If we're talking, you're into the second half now and he's still screaming.
Yes.
No.
And I'm like, why are you, if we're winning 7-0, I'm mixing up the girls. Forwards are playing defense are playing four, you know, yeah. Somebody yeah. who's never been in goal is going to be a goalie. But this guy was like losing his mind. And, you know, when we came to halftime, you know, all my little girls were like, Coach Kelly, they're just elbowing us and it hurts. And I said, hey, like, you just got to match their aggression. Like, we're not mean girls. I don't want you to hurt anybody, but you have to bring it up to their level. Right. If they're going to play aggressive for the ball, you have to as well. And one of our little girls, Bella, she got, you know, and they're little, like this girl bumped her. Like it was during a dead play. They were going to do like a goal kick. And the girl started like running into her and Bella turned around and like two hands shoved her. And then the girl shoved her back and there was a full like shoving match the line.
Good.
And the other coach starts losing his mind for the ref to call a penalty. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, if you think during halftime I told my girls to keep taking shit from yours, you got the wrong team. So get your girls under control or the whole game's going to be like this.
Yeah.
And luckily it kind of like calmed down.
Did he ever say anything?
No. And as a matter of fact, my other coach would not even go through the handshake line afterwards. I did. I didn't say anything to him. Like, you know, because when you're done, you know, you shake hands with the coaches and you tell them good game. I didn't say a word to him, but I went out and shook his hand.
We told him to eat a D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
whole bag of them.
It's not like he was cussing at the kids or anything bad enough that because if it were that bad, I would report it.
The problem is you're impressing a bad pattern of play on the kids at a very young age.
Right, because, yeah. I mean, I didn't know what to tell the girls at halftime. I sure as hell wasn't going to tell them to just keep taking it.
Right.
You know, and, like, we had warned the refs, we had warned the other coach, and then, you know, my little brute Bella goes out there, like, she's got an older brother, so she's like, let's go, babe, drop
him. Right.
It was hysterical. So we are going to come back. We are going to talk about the worst jobs we've ever had. I put out a call for this on Facebook, and we got such a great response. So that is coming up next on The Kelly Mano Show. I'm not a player, I'm just crushing out. From Point of Buchanan to Black Brand, but last, I don't discriminate. I regulate every shade of that. Long as you show class and pass my test. Fat, impressed, highly intelligent, bachelorettes. That's the best, I won't settle for less. I want to get a brunette when I forget a sex. I lay your head on my chest, I feel my heartbeat. We can park the Jeep, put more deep, and just walk the leaf. The Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Hey, dirty, look at that girl right there. Oh, she makes me
say, boom. Did I already play this song?
Oh, you did.
I thought so. I like the way you do that right there. Rookie mistake. Should I change it now or is it too late?
It's too late now.
I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it.
Oh, there you go.
That's what was supposed to play.
Yo, back up now.
It would be a lot easier if I numbered them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. So we are talking about, I put out a call on Facebook. If you don't follow me on Facebook, look me up. It's under Kelly Mano. We also have a group, the Kelly Mano Facebook chat group, where we can kind of chat about extra things.
Yep.
And, so I put out a little call today. Our guest a few weeks ago, Ben, who works in the sewer system and gets poop sprayed on him all the time, which, by the way, like the next week he posted on Facebook one of those shit pumps exploding.
No!
Like all over him.
No.
It was awesome.
Karma.
If you missed that show, it was just like 2 weeks ago. And I think it was called, like, if you think your job is bad, listen to this. So go back and listen to Ben. It was such a great show. And also our show last week with Susan Piles, who lost her son Brandon to suicide. Holy cow. The numbers for that show were as high as when we sent Stan Kroenke poop.
I don't doubt
wow.
it.
Wow.
It, like, just, I mean, so I just want to thank Susan again for coming on the show and sharing her story. She was so amazing. The numbers for that show were just incredible. And so we are talking today about the worst jobs we have ever had. Or I guess in my situation, I haven't had a lot of bad jobs, but I've had a lot of jobs that I was bad at, that I was like a really terrible employee for. My very first job was at Kmart, you know, Blue Light Special Girl.
Sure.
My mom got me the job because she worked there whenever we were growing up. And because I did so good at cashier, because I was like so friendly and liked everybody, they immediately promoted me to jewelry lady.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so what I didn't know was that jewelry lady had a very important job at the end of the night when you closed. And that was to count the merchandise.
Oh.
So you're looking at like six huge cases of like rings and necklaces, and all the rings are in those little slots, you know, and you would have to count at the end of the night, and if it didn't match up to how many you sold that day and how many there were in the beginning of the day, you had to start over again, because that meant something was stolen or something was, well, I am a freaking poster child for ADD, and so for somebody like me to count that much, I couldn't do it. I could not get my brain to focus, because it was like 200 to 300 pieces.
Yeah.
And so I quit Kmart because I couldn't count. Like, I literally told my mom, like, this job is too hard. And she's like, and you know, my dad and mom both knew how bad my brain was. They're like, try taking it section by section. I'm like, I tried that, I can't do it, I've got tally marks and papers. And yeah.
Wow.
So the whole counting stressed me out. And then I would say the only other job that I was really bad at was working at Farm Fresh, which is like a little bitty like grocery store in the Midwest.
Yep.
And it wasn't so much that I was a bad employee, because I did my job and I stocked the milk and I was always nice to the customers, but they would let employees like eat stuff and then we would just have to keep a tab. And so like every day it was like Dr. Pepper, box of Marlboro Lights and Cheetos. And the tab would get, back at the day, I thought it was huge, like $20 or $30. And then the tab would fall in the trash can. And if I ever win the lotto, the first thing I'm going to do is write Farm Fresh a check for like $1,000. And I pushed the panic button and had the cops call the third day there, because I have problems. Well, because when I've got impulse control issues, those who know me closely understand this very well. I can't explain it other than sometimes your brain just has to do something.
Yep.
And it was like the first day of work and they're showing me around Farm Fresh. They're like, here's where you put in the ice cream. Here's where you put in this. And under the counter was a panic button. They're like, this is what you push if you're ever being robbed. And the minute they showed me that button, I had to know what it felt like. Like, I wanted to know, like, was it like stiff or was it easy to push? And how far in did it go? And what, you know, and it just ate at my brain. And I remember going home like that night and telling my dad, I'm like, there's a panic button at work. He's like, don't push it, Kelly. I'm like, I know, but I just my brain couldn't stop thinking about it. And so I guess it was my second day there and I pushed the panic button. I knew there were surveillance videos. So I pretended like I was going under the counter to get a bag and I pushed it as hard as I could with my thumb. And sure enough, like 30 seconds later, you know, maybe not 30, maybe like 60. Here comes Granite City's finest. Guns drawn.
Oh, no.
They weren't pointed up, but their guns were drawn and down at their sides, rushing into Farm Fresh. And all the managers like, what happened? And I played completely dumb. And I didn't tell anybody. It's not like I was doing it to get attention. Yeah. Like, I didn't tell anybody for the longest time. I told my dad. I got home, I'm like, I pushed the panic button, Dad. He's like, damn it, Kelly. But, you know, things like that, I don't know. Anyone else who has really bad impulse issues will completely understand what I'm saying. But there's sometimes when I just do stuff that I know I'm not supposed to do, but I have to know what it feels like. Like hanging my mom's ring out the window when I was little. Like I was wearing her opal ring and I was like, I wonder if I turn my hand this way, if it'll blow off. And like my brain just made me do it and off went the ring. And are you guys normal? You guys are normal. Just looking by the look on your face. Jimmy doesn't understand this either.
No, I get it. Yeah, my difference is I get everything you're saying, but there's the other side of my brain that goes, you know what's going to happen. Don't do it.
That doesn't work in my brain. And I totally gave it to my kids because Lucy's like, Mom, she's like, is the door locked in the car? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I just keep having this daydream that I'm just going to open the door. Like, my arm just wants to open the door. I'm like, get in the middle seat right now because you will open it. You are my child. And I know I know how this is going to end. It's going to end with you opening the door, driving down the highway. So get in the middle seat.
Yep.
So those were the two jobs that I was bad at. Hoss, what was your worst job ever?
I wasn't bad at any job, but I definitely had two jobs that sucked. My first ever job was I worked at a donut store, but I got paid out of the register, so it doesn't count.
I had one of those jobs, too. Yeah. It was ice cream, though.
Yeah. My first real job that I got taxes taken out in a paycheck was I was a courtesy clerk at Shop and Save, which we don't have cart boys.
Right.
But it was my job to gather carts and also clean up anything that got spilled. That job sucked.
Yeah.
Real, real bad. I remember I got it when I was 15, and the first night my mom picked me up from work at like 10:30 at night. I jumped in the car and was like, well, I know what I don't want to do for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
But I distinctly remember hiding in the count-out room for like the last 5 minutes of my shift.
Oh, yeah.
And hearing with like 3 minutes to go, wet cleanup in aisle six? Wet cleanup, aisle six. Which meant someone dropped something that was in a jar. So I go and I get my mop and I'm like, I'm just cussing under my breath. And I turn and there's this little kid who couldn't be much older than Libby is now.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm sorry, I dropped the pickles. And like they're the little bitty like baby like
right.
whatever pickles. I'm like, no, that's cool, man. And he's walking away and I'm mopping him up. And just in my head, I snapped and I grabbed a pickle and from about 20 yards away, winged it and pegged that little kid.
That's exactly right in the back what I of the would head. Do. Yes.
Like, I could have thrown 20 more of those and never made
and
that
never
shot.
Never hit it. Yep.
And he just looked at me stunned, and I was like, this is where I get fired and brought up on charges. Nothing happened. I think that kid was just shocked.
Throwing pickles at a kid is like an everyday, like, that, like, yeah.
That's
I totally
easily
relate to
that. The worst job I had. The other one was when I was in college, I had a job that my buddy hooked me up on, and the pay was great, but we detailed airplanes at Spirit of St. Louis and at Lambert, like private jets.
That would be a cool job.
Yeah,
it's not,
cool.
And I'll tell you why. Number one, you don't know what your schedule is. I had to sit around every...
Oh, that sucks.
I had to sit around every day and wait for them to call me. And like so many times, I'd be like, it's 11 o'clock, I'm going to go have a day.
Right.
And then I would miss the call by like an hour, and they would get mad at me, and I'm like, what do you expect me to do?
Yeah.
So you go and you get a couple of rags, you have squeeze bottles and the stuff for the chrome parts. And it is manual labor. You're finding spots on the plane like oil or whatever, buffing them out.
Yeah.
Somebody also gets to draw the short straw. And that short straw means you're on lav duty.
Oh, the toilets.
Oh, yep.
Somebody
gotta do that.
I did that for a month and a half until I was just like, and I quit because I could not stand not knowing day to day if I was going to work.
Yeah.
The money was great when you would work. And my buddy was like, dude, why don't you want to stay? And I'm like, because I need to know what's up.
Yeah, that would be hard.
But those are easily the two worst jobs I ever had was cleaning airplanes and working at Shop and Save.
I think if I had to say the worst job ever, could you imagine being a tow truck driver? Because everybody hates you.
Not like, everybody. Some people love you.
How would anybody love? No, I mean, like, if you work at the... At
like
the,
a
at,
repo dude?
No, like, if you work at the tow truck lot and the people have to come get their cars from you and you're at that counter. My car was towed once and I showed up and just pissed at the world. And you could tell that that lady dealt with pissed off people all day long.
Well, that's not the driver. I mean, if you've ever been broken down in the middle of nowhere,
yeah,
you are thankful when you see the driver.
No, I mean, if you work at the tow truck lot.
If you're at the lot, yeah.
And you're the person who has to
if
deal
you're at the
with.
Pound.
Yeah, you're the one who has to deal with the people coming to pick up their cars. That would be, like, the worst job ever. I
dealt with one of them about 6 months ago.
Were you mean to them?
No.
No.
I was very nice.
You're better than me.
The woman who I was there on behalf of.
Oh, Satan.
No.
Oh, okay. Somebody else.
6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Was not doing what she needed to do to expedite getting her car back.
Yeah.
So I had to step in and quarterback everything, and I was just like, ma'am, tell me what you need. And she helped me out, and I finally had to look at her and be like, not look at the girl I was with and just say, you don't understand. If you don't do what you need to do, they're going to keep your car longer.
Yeah.
They don't want to help you because they want more of your money, which you don't have.
Well, that's how girls get pissed off and just shut down.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not going to deal with it.
Yep. She wasn't mad. She was just lazy.
Steph, do you have Facebook pulled up?
Yep.
I've got, we'll go back and forth a little bit because a lot of people were reaching out with the worst jobs that they ever had. My neighbor Joe Stewart used to dig dog graves at a pet cemetery.
Mm. Oh, that would kill me in the inside.
My cousin-in-law is a grave digger for people. I think the dog one might almost be worse.
Dog one, yeah, would definitely be worse.
My cousin Amanda said the sign-waving people, like at the Halloween stores and the... Like every year when it's tax time,
the people who dance in costumes and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, and we drive by the Statue of Liberty, like waving. I'm like, kids, that's why you have to make good grades.
Yep.
Can I interject with a story?
Yes.
So when I lived in Los Angeles, I had a roommate who, for whatever reason, just could not keep a job. And he got hired to work at a coffee place called Coffee Bean, which is essentially Starbucks, but it's on the West Coast. And they have a mascot, which is called Mr. Ice Blended, which is basically their Frappuccinos. He was so bad at making coffee that they told him his job was to wear the suit. And I'll find you a picture of the suit.
Uh-huh.
So he comes home one day, and I go, hey, man, how was your day? And he goes, well, they made me wear the suit today. And I was like, oh, that sucks. He goes, yeah. So I was out there, and it's real hot. And this car drives up. And I was like, okay. He goes, and I hear a horn honk, and I turn around, and I hear, yo, Coffee Bean. He goes, and I turn around, and I go, what happened, dude? And he goes, he threw his coffee in my face, and then yelled,
what?
F'd your mom last night, and drove off.
Oh, my gosh.
I go, what did you do, man? He goes, I did all I could do. I leaned to the side with my little head and waved at him as he drove off. He goes, while my face was burning with coffee.
Well, speaking of coffee, this reminded me of my other worst job I ever had. My very first job by myself in radio was working for 101.5 CILFM in Carbondale, Illinois. It was while I was going to college. And, you know, I knew I wanted to be in radio. And so they're like, okay, well, you know, you're like 19. We'll put you on an overnight. So I'm like, that's awesome, you know, because I was still live for 6 hours. Well, what they didn't tell me was that I was the only one in the building overnight from 12 to 6.
Oh.
Now, I am the biggest scaredy cat in the world. I don't like being by myself. I don't like the dark. I don't sleep by myself. If Jimmy's got a late gig, the kids are in bed with me. And the first night when I realized that I was going to be by myself from 12 to 6, I nearly had, like, well, I did have a panic attack. I still can't eat Papa John's pizza because that is what I ate right before I found out that I had to be by myself, and I can still feel it in my stomach.
What? Wow.
Yes, and so...
Really?
The biggest problem was that I have to pee all the time. Well, the bathroom was completely across the station, across... There was, like, all these desks, like the sales area, and it's really dark, and all of these windows, and it was literally in the middle of a cornfield. It's not like there's cars going by and this and that. And so I would call my college boyfriend, like, crying, like, in between. I'm like, I can't do this. And then I'd jump right back on and be like, you know, that was Christina Aguilera on 101.5. Coming up next, you know. So I was at my parents' house, and my dad always collected his coffee cans. Like, he'd have them stacked up in the garage, and he'd put, like screws in them and stuff. And I found an empty one, and so I took it with me to work. And for, like, every night I worked there, instead of peeing in the bathroom, I would pee in the coffee can in the studio. And then, like, right at about 5:30 a.m., it would get light outside, but people weren't there yet. And then I would take the coffee can out and dump it out in the grass, and then I would put it in the back of my trunk, and then I would come back to work the next night with my coffee can.
What is wrong with you?
I would pee in that coffee can 40 times before I walked across that spooky, creepy sales center in the dark by myself.
Did you ever hit the bottom floor button on the building off Cole Street?
Oh, God, no. I never went anywhere by myself over there.
I
was so scared.
I didn't know that there was a basement to that building.
I don't think I knew there was.
And I was getting off work at like 6 a.m. from doing an overnight shift. And I went to the elevator. And I think I just instinctively hit the bottom button. Thinking it was going to drop me off at the lobby. The doors open up. And I take a couple steps out and immediately realize I'm someplace I have never seen before.
Yes.
And it's pitch black. And your brain's just like, I think I just found Area 51.
Great.
I'm not supposed to be here. I need to leave, and just took, didn't turn around, took two steps backwards.
Yes.
Hit the button on the elevator. It's like, I think I'll take the stairs.
Well, yeah, Haas and I met working like 20 years ago at 105.7 The Point. We were interns there, and it was in not the best area of St. Louis. And coming from Illinois, like, it was some scary stuff. Like, we always tell stories about going to McDonald's drive-thru.
They closed at 4.
Yeah, well, because it was so bad. But you'd go through to order a Big Mac, and they'd try to sell you like a car stereo like, through
nice.
The window.
Y'all, nice.
Can y'all need a radio? Nope. Just some fries, sir.
No. Stephanie, what else is on our Facebook? Any other bad jobs out there that we need to cover?
There's lots of inappropriateness happening, you know, to different species. I don't know how much I can say.
Are you talking about the turkey testicle puller?
Yeah, well, there's a turkey testicle puller. There's someone on here that has.
Why do you need to pull testicles?
Well, somebody said they manually masturbated caged animals for artificial insemination.
What?
Oh, that's probably a thing.
I mean, it is a thing. I've seen it happen on the SeaWorld documentary, like Blackfish.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that for like panda, you know,
sure,
like
endangered species and stuff.
Okay.
Why are you tugging on turkey nuts?
She worked at a processing plant, Julie Seward. And she said it was a very dark time in her life.
I mean, you do what you got to do to pay the bills, but...
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. So our buddy Sean Copeland, who is in radio, and he does mornings now, but he said it was scrubbing the studio walls on my hands and knees the first day as an intern. He was our intern at Stephen D.C., and we blew up a Fry Daddy trying to fry Twinkies, and he had to get on his hands and knees and scrub the grease off the radio walls. Somebody worked for Sarah Wyman worked for the Bellman Weenie Wagon, and she said she smelled like hot dogs all day.
Like the Oscar Mayer Weenie Wagon?
Yeah, I guess so.
That'd be a great job.
Someone had a job testing, taste testing expired dairy products.
No,
dairy plants.
That wins or loses depending on how we're grading this.
I don't know. So Cheryl Ann worked at Captain D's. When you work at Captain D's,
you smell like
greasy fish.
Yeah, greasy fish. I'm sure.
I can't stand that place.
The worst smell.
It's like the waiting room for heaven. I don't think you are allowed to eat there unless you were over the age of 85.
Oh, gosh. Your buddy Jason Martin worked at an aquarium in Hazelwood. I bet it was Belts.
Probably.
And he said that they gave him a 400-page manual to learn about all the fish, and he didn't and just faked it. And, like,
I wonder how many fish he killed.
Sold customers the wrong fish and, you know, ones that didn't get along. Oh, God, here's Sean. Yeah, the one who had to do the caged animals. Oh, God. I kind of want to ask Sean some more questions about that, but I don't know. I don't know if I want to know the answers.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much do you really want to know about that? I mean, I guess
we learned all about the sewer. Do you, like, get to know each animal and what they like to make the process quicker?
Maybe. maybe you just figure it out after a while. They like to be stroked behind their ears.
Not have experience with other animals, I feel like I'm the one qualified to answer this question of the three of us.
Yes.
It's friction. It's just friction.
Yes, but... Again, the different animals might like different friction.
Yeah.
So the thing is, are you like, you know, well, hey.
I mean, I don't think we need to talk about, I don't think they care if you put Barry White on or light a candle.
Well, what if, like, Tater the goat likes it from the side or, you know, like. I mean, you got to learn that stuff to make your job quicker, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you're getting paid by the hour, yes.
If you're getting paid by the hour.
Per animal, per sample.
Yes. Okay, I think he wins. All right, we will be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Yeah, that's right, y'all, and I am in the flow. So pump up the volume along with the tempo. Many have died trying to stop my show. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Tick, 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 yeah. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Take it to where I am.
The Kelly Mano Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
So are you guys starting to follow the politics a little bit more now that it's getting closer?
I'd say about the same.
So I have an experiment that I want to do with you guys.
Okay.
So go on your Facebook and go to Donald Trump's Facebook page.
Okay.
Like his verified blue checkmark page.
Okay. Facebook, right? Not Twitter?
Facebook.
Okay.
And it'll tell you how many of your friends like that page.
Oh, I saw this a while back.
Right here, it tells me that I've got 264 friends that like his page.
Now, here's what's full confession. Here's something that is a little skewed about that.
Uh-huh.
I've liked Donald Trump's page for about 4 years because I love the show The Apprentice.
Yeah, but still, if you hated him in the race, you'd probably unlike it.
No.
Stephanie, how many Trump friends do you have?
What does it say?
14.
Oh, okay. I have 75.
You only have 14?
Yeah.
I have 75.
Okay, to be fair, though, I probably have way fewer friends on Facebook than you do.
Okay, I have 264.
75.
Okay, so now go to Hillary's page.
I'm going to have a lot more just because of my industry. I'll tell you that right now.
Hillary, is she 1L or 2?
She
must be 1.
2L. Wait,
when I type in Clinton, the first thing that pops up is George Clinton. Such a way better follower.
Hillary Clinton.
Well, I have 19 friends that like Hillary Clinton.
I can't find her page.
But I'm not.
Oh,
anymore.
Here it is, verified page. I have 86 that like Hillary. So
45.
Stephanie, how many do you have?
19.
So Stephanie, you are the only one who has more people that like Hillary than Trump.
Yep.
Haas and I, mine is a landslide.
I'm actually very, very surprised with me having as many friends in the music industry as I do that it's not pro-Hillary on my page.
Well, I mean, I come from a long line of hillbilly and white trash Hoosiers,
I think geographically where we are doesn't surprise me. That's true, too.
Yeah. Missouri is a very red state.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that because of who I interact with work-wise that it doesn't push me over to the Hillary side.
It is interesting to see, though. I had 264 for Trump and 86 for Hillary. Stephanie was at 14 and 19, and Haas was at 75 and 45. So, do you guys know who you're voting for? You don't have to say.
I know who I'm not voting for. You could have this person running against the devil themselves, and I would still vote for this person.
Steph, do you know who you're voting for?
Yeah, I do.
You've got it locked in.
Yep.
I thought I had it locked in. Now I'm not really sure. But you know what I'm sick of? I am so sick of the people on Facebook who are like, if you vote for this person, you're not my friend, or delete me now.
That's so weak.
Really? Like,
we've talked about, I have a friend who's just batshit crazy.
Really? Like, you don't want to be somebody's friend because of their political views?
That's so silly. I mean, I have plenty of friends that, you know, have different political views. My husband has different political views than I do.
That's awesome. My mom and dad were like that.
So, like, I think if we can get along and we can be happy, you know, then you can be friends with anybody with a different political view.
Can we talk about the Missouri governor race for a minute?
Who's in it?
well, in particular, I want to talk about how just carnival sideshow the commercials have gotten.
It's ridiculous.
There is a dude running for governor of this state whose entire 30-second commercial consists of him not saying anything.
Was it shooting the gun?
But shooting a machine gun into a lake.
That same guy has also called my cell phone, or his campaign has called my cell phone at least 3 or 4 times asking me if I can count on their vote. And every time I've told them, no way, take me off your list.
Right.
And they keep calling me.
I need to read more into the politics of each guy. But and I get, like, his platform is he's a former Navy SEAL and all this stuff. And that's great, dude. That's fine.
Yeah.
But call me old-fashioned. I would rather have campaign funds spent on a commercial that tells me how you're going to fix the economic problem in the state.
Yep.
How you're going to handle issues. Not ripping off hundreds of bullets into a pond. I played college basketball. If I ever run for governor, I'm not going to spend 30 seconds shooting free throws and then have someone go, that dude should be governor.
Right.
Like, it does nothing.
Nope.
Yeah. Unless you're telling me that the fish are trying to invade us and you're stopping the invasion.
With your machine gun. Yep.
Or if this is some, like, I'm going to keep our border safe by using machine guns on anyone who comes into Missouri.
Yeah.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Exactly. Right. There's no message behind it.
Aside from getting the rednecks rally like, yeah, man, that guy's got a big old gun.
Exactly.
I want to vote for him.
Oh.
Like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like, has everyone in this room seen the movie Idiocracy?
A long time ago, and not the whole thing.
We are moving so close to that movie in real life that it is staggering.
It is staggering to me how every election now is moving further away from how do we make us as a society better, and becoming more and more of this weird popularity contest.
Yes.
With, and popular for reasons that matter to nothing when it comes to running a government.
Right. And regardless of who you're voting for, who do you think is going to win? Because I think Trump's got it in the bag.
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah,
I think Trump's got it in the bag. I think that Trump's demographic will come out and vote way more than Hillary's will. And I think that it's going to be, I think we're going to have another like dangling Chad problem. Like I don't see this ending quickly. You know, I could see this be one of those races where, because neither one is going to back down or concede.
Right.
You know, to where, you know, could you imagine if Donald Trump loses the fit he will throw? Like the ultimate shit fit of like, this is rigged or this isn't right or.
I don't know if I see a dangling Chad issue, but I could very well see this being another election where one person wins the popular vote and somebody else wins the electoral vote.
Right.
I could see that too.
And I go back and forth. I think honestly what's going to be the deciding factor, and God help us, is what the millennials end up doing. Because right now, the millennials
hate Hillary. And they didn't get Bernie in. They didn't get out and vote. The millennials do nothing but sit around and bitch on Facebook.
I don't think that it was the millennials' fault that Bernie didn't get in. If you look and read about all the crap that the DNC did to poison that well and push Hillary through.
Yeah, see, I don't get into that.
They worked on the inside to keep Bernie out.
I was going to vote for Bernie. I really liked him.
Bernie's trying his best. Yeah, and Bernie's trying his best to toe the line now and really push hard for Hillary. But there are so many kids 25 and under who do not and will not trust Hillary Clinton.
But it's so hard to get young kids to vote. Like, even that one year when, like, Puff Daddy came out and did that huge, like, rock the vote
campaign.
They
were 21% of Obama's vote.
Who were kids?
Yes.
Yeah. That was the first of it, though. That was the first, like, kind.
I don't think the millennials are going to vote. I don't think they're going to come out, you know.
I think that they are going to split the Democratic vote. I don't pretend that any of them are going to vote for Trump.
No.
But I think they're going to vote either Green Party or independent.
I question how many of them actually know how to vote and are registered and know where their polling place is and turned in their forms. And, you know, all these like hippie college students that sleep till 4 PM. I just don't see them going out and making a dent in the vote. I don't. And
we'll
I don't need to just hate on them because there's plenty of nice millennials out there. But
we'll see. We'll see. But I really think that that's where this election hangs.
I think Trump's got it in the bag.
I don't know.
I don't know why. I've had that gut feeling for a long, long time.
There's a debate tonight. It's the VP debate tonight, right?
I couldn't even pick the VPs out of a lineup. I know that.
I didn't even realize that Hillary had picked one yet.
I didn't either.
Oh, yeah, Tim Kaine. Mm-hmm.
And I know that Donald Trump picked some guy named Pence, but I keep thinking of Hunter Pence, the baseball player with the weird eyes.
Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't even know who that is. Hell. hey, if you hung out and listened to the show today, thank you. We love you for listening. You can always email the show at heykelly@kellymano.com. Go to kellymano.com to listen to old shows. And next week is our NHL Blues Wives show.
I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
So here's where we like to get youth hockey involved. I'm pretty sure that the three wives/girlfriends I have coming on are Ryan Reeves, Kevin Shattenkirk, and Alex Petrangelo's better halves. Possibly Bo Meester's too. So if you are a youth hockey player in the St. Louis area or wherever you can hear me and you have a question for one of the guys, you have to email it to me at heykelly@kellymano.com. If we pick your question to ask the guys, then you will be in a drawing to win autographed merchandise because, you know, the girls usually bring like a signed puck and things like that.
Yep.
But we want good youth hockey questions. We don't want to know, you know, what they're thinking during their forecheck or
why'd you pick your number?
Right. No, like I really want like fun kid questions.
Right.
So if you've got any questions for the guys, just email me, heykelly@kellymano.com. Make sure you include your kiddo's name, their age, and if they play for a hockey club, let me know. If I read their question on the air, they will go in the drawing to win signed merchandise. And they can ask more than one question. They can email in like three or four, and if I pick one, then that's good.
Yeah.
Also on that show.
Yes. Haas is going to be graciously giving away two tickets in the lower bowl to the Blues home opener.
That's amazing.
And I gotta say, I'm honestly a little bit jealous because we have not bought ours yet. But the Manos will be going. We're always the last minute ones, but I'm so excited for hockey.
Me too.
Especially now that the Cardinals are out. We don't have the NFL here in St. Louis. There's a lot of pressure on the Blues this year.
Yep.
And I'm excited to see how they kick things off next week. So
it's going
to
be awesome.
Until I see you then, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart assy. We love you for listening. Haas, anything for the boys?
Kangaroo doesn't taste like chicken.
Oh, God, shut up about the poor kangaroo. Damn it. Murderer! We love you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.